Secondly, sometimes in our lives we get to thinking that success of material things in life, it means that we're real close to God. Must be that since the things that we do are successful, we're making money, we're doing good, we're having a lot of friends around us, we're having a lot of good things we've done. All these material things of life are being so rewarding to us that it must be that we're okay with God at that time. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," at verse 33, "and these things shall be added unto you." Jesus was speaking about a spiritual walk of life, and a way of life that later Paul will write about in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, in which he notes that all spiritual blessings are found where? In Christ. What about material blessings? Oh, Jesus talked about that later on in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. In reference to the rain coming upon the just and the unjust, the gardens and the crops and the fields may grow successfully for someone who's not serving God. Those are material things in life. The rain and the sun come upon the just and the unjust alike. But all spiritual blessings are found where? Ephesians 1 and verse 3, all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. When we find spiritual blessings in Christ, where do I need to be? I need to be in Christ, don't I? That's where I need to be, where that spiritual blessing will be found. Now, what's a spiritual blessing versus a material? Well, a material blessing would be a good friendship and a good marriage and good things going on with our growth in our jobs and making funds and so forth. Material things of life. The spiritual things like forgiveness and salvation, redemption, deliverance from sin and wrongdoing, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, being rewarded by the Lord, that they that wait upon Him renew their strength. Spiritual goods come from being in Christ. And notice what he says there in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. But we find ourselves saying about a community, all the people of this community are in this building. How many of the people of this community will be outside this building? None. If all spiritual blessings are in Christ, is that not where we need to be? Number 3. When we find ourselves growing in life and having the light of God's Word to shine in our lives and having those arrows in the hand of a mighty man, here's a family. They are our influence in the future. What will they be influenced in the future with? Will they be influenced in the future with misguided mannerisms and thinking that's successful when they ought to be people who are meek and respectful and helpful to others in teaching the Word of God, doing His will? When we find people who are practicing a way of life thinking that since they're blessed materially, a good job, good monies, good income, good family, that they're blessed also spiritually, yet they're not in Christ, wouldn't it be necessary for us to look at point 3 today? How do we get into Christ? That's important. And it is good to see. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read about people being of faith in Christ, being baptized into Christ. In Romans chapter 6, we read about that newness of life that people begin to walk once they are buried with Him by baptism into His death. You'll note that that faith that moves an individual to respond in being baptized into Christ for the remission of past sins, for the remission of all those past sins of life, is what's being taught. And as we come into Christ, what do we have now that we didn't have before and we're never going to have without? We are in Christ. Baptized into Christ, we become new and forgiven of our past And here's the hope that we have for the future. What should we do? What we should do as a congregation of people, be prepared for folks. Show that we have a faith that people are going to obey the gospel. Have the water warm. Have the heater ready. Have everything done as we can possibly do with clothes provided for someone to obey the gospel of Christ even today. The idea is that we come into Christ and we have all spiritual blessings now. When I yield my life to do sin and wrongdoing, and the Bible tells me in 1 John 1, don't say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We make God a liar. And we find ourselves unforgiven. But if we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 9. And so I find that in my daily walk of life, as I go on in Christ, that when I do wrong, when I say the wrong things, when I just don't do the right things for God at all, I come back to the Lord in confession and He will forgive me. I find that the promise is given there to those that are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Notice the context there, 1 John 1 and verses 3 and 4. Those that are in the fellowship with the Father and the Son have the right in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I can live that way. Now we have an example of that in Acts chapter 8. Simon was hearing the gospel of Christ preached by Philip. He obeyed the gospel. He was baptized into Christ. But then he saw the miracles that were done, and he wanted also to be able to do those things and add to his repertoire of sorcery. And so he asked and offered money that he might find himself enjoying those powers. Peter says to him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thy heart is not right with God." What's he to do? He's been baptized into Christ. He has all spiritual blessings that are found in Christ. What's he to do? Go back and be rebaptized as though he never entered into Christ? That's not what the inspired apostle told him. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, he says, "Repent therefore and pray that perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee." This individual found himself in a blessing of being in Christ. He had the right and the privilege to call upon the Lord for what he had done that's wrong and confess it, and the Lord would forgive him. And that's exactly what Simon did. In fact, he did it in such a way that you and I are influenced by it. He said to Peter, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things you may spoken may come upon me." Here's a hope that he had, a newness of life. And he came into Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful in our Christian family to guide and direct our Christian family by the light of God's Word entering into our lives and entering into the lives of our children? As they are arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so they influence the future with the light of God's Word. They will teach people the right things of the Lord, no matter how successful it may appear to be. If it's not authorized of God, it's not something to be practiced, not something to be done, and certainly not something to be imitated. So we teach the right things of the Lord. We offer light for the future. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We find ourselves strengthened of God. We're walking in the Lord as we live from day to day. Forgiveness can be ours for the past.